We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Live with Mike. We're here and we have a chance to visit with the Cardinal President of Baseball Operations. He is John Mozeliak. And because this is Hall of Fame weekend and we've had a chance to watch a couple of great players from the Cardinals go into the Hall of Fame, I wanted to talk to you about that as far as your relationship with those guys, because they were both acquired. They weren't guys who grew through the farm system. So you had your fingerprints on that along with Walt Jocketty. Walk me through that process and how those two guys arrived in St. Louis.
Well, first off, it is an exciting weekend because I guess it shows you that I'm getting older and being able to say I've actually worked with most of these guys that are going into the Hall of Fame. And when you look at Izzy and Scott Rolen getting the opportunity to be honored this way, it's certainly special. And both guys I had different relationships with. And, you know, certainly as I look back at my time with Scott Rolen, always admired him as a player, always, I think at the time when we had him, one of the best third basemen in the game. And it's sort of funny that the way our relationship ended in the sense of how to trade him.
That was your first order of business as general manager.
It was actually my second, because the first one was actually trading Jim Edmonds for David Freese. So all of a sudden, it became this sort of like, who's going to go first? Mm-hmm. And, you know, liked both guys, didn't really want to trade both guys, but in the end, we had to do something there. And in a way, it worked out. I think the irony of Scott being traded to Toronto is 6 months later, he's in Cincinnati, which clearly I would have never moved him to Cincinnati.
No,
so
no.
That one kind of bit me. And, you know, looking back on that, though, tremendous guy, special athlete, and what an honor for him to go in. And then Izzy, who I think all of us get to see a lot more of because he works for the Cardinals.
Right.
And so my relationship with him, as a player, I certainly knew him, but I would credit Mr. DeWitt and obviously Walt Jocketty and Tony La Russa for really being the people that pulled him over here. I think the one big move I made with him was worked on a few contracts and then also did exercise the option as my that was actually my first official move as interim general manager.
Wow, you were a busy man in the early days.
So I do remember that, but great guy. And he and I do spend a lot of time together now, and I can tell you this weekend means so much to him, and truly, truly grateful for this recognition.
You know, going back to Izzy for a second, he works with you, and he's one of those guys who's a hands-on guy. He's almost a hybrid from being the old-school guy who really had to get out of line and start his career over again, to now being a guy who's now in administration and obviously understanding how analytics works and how it applies to the game. Those guys are pretty unique at this point. And for you to have a guy like that on your staff, I think it's got to be a plus.
I think like the most valuable part of having somebody like a Jason Isringhausen on your staff is really his ability to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
What you said earlier is, I think, very poignant in the sense that the role he's in, given his experience and ups and downs and having to deal with failure, surgeries. I think he had 17 surgeries.
Wow.
Three Tommy Johns. I mean, that's not that's not easy to get through.
You're right.
And yet he always figured out a way to get back on the field. And that takes a lot of grit, a lot of determination. And you think about sort of the modern player today, it's not always that they're not always comfortable having to go through that same route. And to have someone they can lean on or ask questions to, like an Izzy, I think is invaluable. And then you couple that with sort of the nuances of what's happening in the game today and understanding modern analytics and how we can help a player really optimize their skill set is something that I also value. But I think you couple it all together, and it makes for a powerful voice in our minor league system. And, you know, candidly, I've actually encouraged him to spend a little time around the big leagues as well, because I think that can not only help him grow as a coach and someone in the front office, but as a person.
You know, it's interesting you bring up being around the big leagues. And I've talked to players in different organizations who are out of the game. They want to get back in it in one way or another. And the first thing they say is, I don't recognize the big leagues anymore. I don't want to teach. I want to work with the young guys. But the big leagues, as I know it, is different than what I see now. How often do you hear that?
Well, I hear it a lot. But I also think, you know, that's just natural evolution. You know, think back to where you were 10 years ago. You do your job differently. Technology's changed. It, you know, you may like it or you may not, but you go with it. And I think, you know, I still think the game is actually amazing game. I was having a conversation with Mr. DeWitt not too long ago, because he was talking about the 44 club. And then you look at it relative to what you see out there on the field today, the athlete's just different. That's just natural evolution of the game. And so when I hear people talk bad about baseball or how they say they don't like it today, I struggle with that, because I still think it's a beautiful game. I still think it's a great game. I get it. It's different than when I broke in, but it's still a special game. And the athletes that play it are still the best in the world. And I still think it's a game that you can come, you can socialize, but still see something you may never have seen before.
Here's where I think people have a disconnect with the game as we know it, compared to, as you mentioned, let's say 10 years ago. We see a lot more strikeouts. We see a lot more home runs. We don't see as many things taking place like moving a runner along and doing the little things to manufacture runs. I think the other one, from a pitching standpoint, they're all bigger, stronger, faster, as we know. They have their training regimens, and they have all the things that weren't around 10 years ago, and yet they don't appear to be as durable, and that's frustrating. And the other thing is, it just seems like it's more of a cookie-cutter game, because people – and again, I think sometimes people hear the word analytics, but they don't want to peel off the next layer to find out where it really means something. And I guess the one thing that people would say is the shift, things of that nature that they recognize. But I think that's one of the reasons why people fight it, because they don't recognize it as they grew up with.
Michael, first off, that was a mouthful. So I'm going to walk us back, if I may.
And wherever you get stuck, I'll remind you of
it. So when you say the nuances of today's game in terms of moving runners or hitting behind a runner just aren't done, I would agree with that statement. But I would say that under Mike Schilt, we do attempt to do some of
those
littler things. Are
we
stealing bases more than other teams? Yes.
And I think that's why the Cardinals stand out, because of the things that Mike Schilt has been able to implement. But I was talking about overall.
Right. So as you think about sort of this overarching theme of the game, teams that are ultimately going to be the most successful are always going to know when to zig and zag and try to get out in front of that. And I think that, you know, us putting a lot of stress or attention to defense and base running this offseason has paid off,
in
a big way. And you know, sure, would you like to see us have a higher contact rate when there's a runner on third? Of course. But that's something that we are aware of, and we know we have to work on, because we recognize if everybody's selling, maybe we should be buying. If everybody's buying, maybe we should be selling, right? So it's sort of that mentality and how you think about your game strategy. And I think Mike Schilt and his team have really, you know, taken ownership of that, and I think they do it in a positive way. Now, when you talk about sort of the phrase analytics, and we hear a lot of people that have access to a microphone or a pen sometimes take issue with it. It's ruining the game. It's not helpful to the game. Well, you know, you put yourself in the athlete's shoe, and you're that player. You want to optimize your skill set. How do you do that? Is it eating healthier? Is it getting more sleep? Is it training more in the weight room? Is it learning to get that extra step? Is it looking at exit velocity? Is it looking at your launch angle? all of these things are at your disposal. The smartest people in the world, whether it's in business, politics, in life, they take advantage of what they have access to. Now, has some of the tools that have become available to the game of baseball changed how the game's being played in perhaps a negative way? Someone could argue that. Mm-hmm. I would not. I think it's about finding balance and how to use these tools and how to really optimize what you have in an athlete and try to make them better. And that's what we try to do. Now, we're not perfect at it. We know every offseason we're going to go back to the drawing board and you know, pencil to paper and try to figure out how we can even do it better. But that's where you hear a phrase a lot in the business world and in the baseball or sports world, you know, what's your competitive advantage? And, you know, there are teams that are very strategic on how they think about their teaching, on how they think about developing players. And if you're not in that mindset, you're going to wake up and you're going to find yourself in last. And that's a bad place to be in this business.
Let's take our first break. John Mozeliak's with us. We'll come back with more of the Cardinals Radio Network. We continue with the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. You know, we're talking about Izzy, and then the next thing I know, we're going into a different direction. And I want to finish up on that, but I want to go back to the players here in just a second. One of the things that I don't think we take into account with all the information that's available to these players and everybody else, some people can disseminate it better than others. That doesn't make them slow. That doesn't make them a bad person. I think the big challenge we have today, because there is a wealth of information, some people need to draw from what they can really break down and understand and apply compared to being that person has to embrace everything and they just can't process everything.
Maybe the way to think about it, Mike, is you're a high school teacher and you have 25 students. Mm-hmm. Are they all going to hear you the same way?
Exactly. That's my point.
And they're not. And so you, as the teacher, if you're a good teacher, you're going to adapt to all 25. If you are a closed-minded, don't care, and only want to teach the smart ones, you'll just focus on them. Or there might be some that are more challenged, then you just focus on them. But the problem we're all faced with is to understand what our students look like and how we can reach them. And I think, again, when I look at what Mike Shildt and his staff has done, they're very strategic in understanding how people learn, how people process. Is it visual? Is it verbal? And they want to make sure that that's what's being said. Now, you know, taking it even at a higher level, we have to do that with 250 other players. And, you know, that's the complication of running this type of organization, because as you think about the game, and I think you used the phrase, you know, the modernization of the game, which I agree, but you still have a lot of sort of old school principles that you want to right. keep and value. But does that go with the current way of teaching? And so that's the adaptation that we're always forced with to try to do. It's a little bit of a push-pull, but what you don't want to try to do is push the rope, because then it's not working. And so ultimately you're trying to find that balance of getting the most out of your athlete, allowing them to grow by either giving them enough information to do that or making sure that you're not overloading them so they can no longer perform.
That's where I think the key for this team in this season with the coaches – started with Mike all the way down. The work they put in being able to identify what works for each individual, the time that they take to do that, I think has created a plus factor, which takes me to the fact that we're fundamentally more sound defensively, base running, everything you would ask for. And those are the teams, when it's all said and done, and the people who will complain about that the game has changed, this and that, you look at the world champions. That's always a team that has executed the fundamentals better than everybody else, more consistently. You look at a team like Houston or when they won, or Kansas City when they won. They did a lot of little things to win. I don't think you can just come in and be murderer's row that at that time of the year and expect to be a champion. I think the champions we've seen have all found a way to continue to do the little things that the game is going to require for you to be able to be a winner.
This is not my quote, but I love it. But it's hard to do big things when you don't do little things. And so
you can claim it. Go ahead and claim it.
No, it's not. It was Chuck Knoll. And I think it's a fabulous one, because it reminds you of, you know, making sure you pay attention to detail and making sure that you do those little things. And you know, again, when I think back to where we are today versus where we were, you know, a year ago, the off-season preparation from Schulte, his staff, and in conjunction with some people in this front office was they worked tirelessly to get to where they are, and they continue to do that. And, you know, the one thing I think you realize with somebody like a Mike Schilt and the guys that work for him down there on the coaching staff, they're extremely disciplined. They know what they have to do on a given day, and they're going to make sure that gets done. So there's no excuses. And I think ultimately that plays really well into what our overarching goal is. And, you know, clearly when you look at this club, there's things that you can be frustrated with. But there's also things that, again, I think you can be very proud of as a fan of the Cardinals. And you know, I do think, going back to your original point on this, I still think it's a fun team to watch.
I think it's fun because they do push the envelope more than what we see other teams do. We talk about base running. The defense has been stellar, especially up the middle, turning more double plays than anybody else and just doing the little things that we've already talked about, which why I think they stand out. Obviously, there's some things you want to be better at, like every other team, but it's a better product at the end of the day than maybe what we've seen in the past, and I think that all gives us hope that it'll be better.
Well, I can tell you this, that Schulte and his team, they're always looking for areas to improve. They know that. But I as I sit here today, and you know, we're celebrating a weekend of really success when you look at the Hall of Fame weekend, it also makes me feel like to recognize that they have moved the needle and they've done it in a positive way, and our fan base should know that.
Let's take another break. John Mozeliak's with us. We'll come back after this on the Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. We continue with John Mozeliak, president of baseball operations. I want to ask you, we talked a lot about Izzy. I want to go to Scott Rowland, which was a very interesting situation from before you were general manager because of the relationship he had with Tony, the request he had to be traded. And then all of a sudden, after a few years, they have found a way to make peace. How challenging was that for you? Because you were trying to be the good guy to try and buffer that relationship, which was a little awkward for a lot of people.
You think?
Yeah, from where I was sitting, I knew it was. Trust me.
No, I had a really good relationship with Scott, which is somewhat unique to be close with players, but I think it goes back to sort of when we acquired him, getting through that contract, and it was just something that we bonded over a little bit. But I also had great respect for Tony La Russa and what he meant. And, you know, as all this transitioned, it was very awkward because, you know, needless to say, I was named general manager, and all of a sudden I'm trying to balance my new role with Tony La Russa and how we were going to work together. And then also trying to figure out, well, how do I handle what was still a very good player, a real asset to an organization or a team that wanted out. And so I actually sometimes reflect back to those three or four months, and they were quite stressful, really, and very turbulent. And I do think that the one takeaway I have from what happened then to where we are today, I couldn't be happier that Tony and Scotty can now be together and get past that darker time to where, you know, they're buddies again. And that's a good thing. And because both mean a lot to this organization, both have their fingerprints all over a period of great success here. And so to have it where it was in a tough period was not good for anybody. But, you know, clearly we've been able to come full circle, and, you know, it'll be nice to see them embrace. It'll be nice to know that they can do that, and that awkward feeling around the two will not have to exist.
How often have you been in that situation where you had to be a buffer, a mediator, a person that was having a problem with somebody, maybe it's the manager, maybe it's someone else, but you had to get your hands around this thing and make sure it doesn't spiral into something more catastrophic?
You know, you've known me a long time, Mike, and so you have a more intimate look at sort of my day-to-day, but I think a lot of what fans don't realize is the business that I'm involved in is it's not a traditional business. It's very hands-on. It's very relationship based. It's you're engaged a lot with people, and it's not me just sitting behind a computer looking at spreadsheets making decisions. It's, you know, getting to know people, and I don't think people realize really the breadth or the size of this business. And, you know, having roughly over close to 300 players under contract that answer to the Cardinals, and close to 75 minor league personnel, let alone a 50-person scouting staff, and there are always relationships and issues that you're having to mediate or help navigate, because in the end, if we're not pulling on the same side of the rope together, someone's pushing. We already talked about that earlier. That's not a good thing. And so I feel like a lot of what I do is making sure that we're all pulling together. And that's a lot of energy and work and requires a lot of, like, hey, getting on a plane, going to talk to people, and a lot of face-to-face. And it's probably one of the things that I take probably the most pride in is that, you know, we certainly have an organization full of unique personalities, different personalities, and not on every given day we're going to get along. Not on every given day we're going to think alike. But, you know, in the end, we've had sustained success here, and it wasn't by luck.
For you in that role, because as you mentioned, you have to sit down and have some tough conversations. How quickly can you turn the page? Because sometimes things are going to be said or done that's going to rile you up, but you have to step back and say, all right, what's best for the future compared to this person maybe not doing what they need to do, but you know what, I still see value here.
Well, I think, like, self-perception is always probably the most misguided way to think about things, because, like, we all tend to want to believe we always make the
good
right
guy.
Decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
We're thoughtful, and, you know, we don't say the wrong thing, but reality is I'm like anybody else. I make mistakes. I probably say things I wish I could pull back from time to time. But there's sort of the internal version of Mo, and then there's the external version of Mo. And I think when you look at, like, how I present and how I speak in a public forum, I try not to make mistakes. I try not to put myself in a situation where I put the franchise, organization, the team, or a player, or a staff member in a bad spot. But there are times when I have been in those much more smaller, intimate settings where I have regrets. Because I wasn't as thoughtful or cautious. And there is that fine line. And I think, you know, again, when you're looking at the breadth of what you run here, it's making sure you don't make those mistakes very often. And I try not to.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more with John Mozeliak on the Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. We continue with John Mozeliak, president of baseball operations. All right. I'm listening to what you just said, because you're not a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde guy, but there is a side that I've known, and I think people who know you, there's a guarded side when you're speaking on that big front, which I think is good because you're protecting the organization and the people in it. And then there's that other side where you can be stoic and even more guarded, but then you'll have a zinger, and then everybody's like, whoa, where'd that come from? Which is one of the things that I think when people who don't know you from a distance are like, well, I don't know if he's really doing his job. You know, we're not doing this, we're not doing that, and he's a little smug in how he answered that. But when you peel off the layer and you understand why you said it, because there may be something down the road that you want to make sure that doesn't be misunderstood. Is that a pretty good assessment of Mo?
Well, you know me very well versus, you know, as we do this on the Hall of Fame weekend, it's a lot of people hearing this don't know me that well. And I think there is a side of me that can be a bit snarky and a bit on the offensive, if you will. But I think that the way to boil things down a lot of ways, at least this is how I've tried to do it, is treat people like you'd want to be treated. And I mean, they're, when you sit in this chair I sit in, you better be thick-skinned. You can't be someone that takes things too personally, because with social media today, with, you know, people following Twitter and what they write, you're not going to be happy. I mean, it's a darker world out there. And for me, I try not to focus on that. I try to just understand, like, you know, what are we doing in our decision making? Are we doing it right? Is it logical? Mm-hmm. And is there a short-term value versus long-term, or should we be focused on the long-term? And so, you know, having the way to think through that, and again, now I just sound it like that guarded, thoughtful person, but it is my responsibility to think like that and be like that. And so it's not always the most fun version of my personality, but it is still one that, as you get to know me or get to be around me, there is a lighter side to the world of Mo. And, you know, I like to expose that from time to time, but it's, I have a responsibility. It's a big job, and, you know, I want to do it right.
No problem here. I've known you long enough to know you have this look, and this is when I see you and I'm like, okay, this is that day where, okay, he wants to avoid everybody because he's got nothing to say. And then there are other days where you may be a little bit more jovial, which is fine. It comes with the territory. But I want to switch gears because I know our time is short. For you, this has been an interesting year because there wasn't the big deadline deal. There wasn't the waiver situation that we've been accustomed to. How much pushback did you hear from fans and people this year compared to years past? Because there have been years where you haven't been able to make a good deal that you felt was a one that was going to help the ball club. But for this season, I think because we didn't have the second phase of being able to acquire players, people felt like it's either now or never.
You know, I actually think that the biggest reason we heard a lot of maybe angst, anger, or frustration at the July 31st trading deadline was because there did appear to be a glaring need. And, you know, whether you want to call it an additional starter, an innings eater, but it was something that we thought, we agree with the public, you know, if you believe in wisdoms of crowds, we were on that. But the problem was we weren't going to just do it to say we did it, and we wanted it to be someone that could make a difference. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't find that. And clearly, when you look back at the 31st, a lot of inning eaters weren't moved. And I'm not hiding behind that. That's just a fact. And, you know, for us, trying to do what was right. But when you talk about, like, how did we feel about it, or how did it, you know, how do we react? We understood the deadline was the deadline. And you know, that was
why did that change? I mean, what was the purpose of it? Because I think most people, obviously because we don't have it anymore, what was the reason on why people felt it needed to be eliminated, where you can go back and get players via the waiver?
A couple things. One is a lot of the deals that were going down in late August, it just seemed to take the balance of how to think about baseball away. Like, you know, a lot of people feel like the team you build should be the team you play with. And, you know, clearly injuries happen, things happen, but you should be able to do something midstream, and that's the July 31st. Take it now to the August trade deadline or the waiver period deadline. Now, all of a sudden, the only teams that were really making moves are the best teams.
Right.
And or the teams with more financial resources. And that's not really fair. And so, you know, that can be a bit frustrating for teams. And so the third component is it's also a very noisy. You've got tons of players out on waivers. No one's supposed to know about it, but people know about it. And
people get offended and hurt and everything else.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, like, you know, from ownerships to general managers, it was like this collective, like, what are we doing? Does it really make the most sense? Now, there's going to be another discussion, I imagine, at some point, like, is July 31st really the best day? Should we maybe consider August 15th? You know, so I think, like, there still could be
some tweaking
movement.
Is going to
yeah,
take place.
I could see that happening, and it might make sense. I'd certainly want to hear the arguments on both sides. But, you know, clearly, as the Cardinals were entering this one, we were well aware of the deadline. I mean, we knew we were coming, the clock was ticking, but, you know, we feel like we have a couple players in our system that just did not make sense to move, and we decided to hold.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more with John Mozeliak on the Cardinals Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. We continue with John Mozeliak, President of Baseball Operations. As we wind things down with you and we're talking about the Hall of Fame weekend, you know, you mentioned earlier you're getting older. You know, that next set of – that. Hey, listen, not as old as me, trust me. But here's the deal. you know, that next group of Hall of Famers are going to be guys that you directly had your fingerprints on, whether you drafted them, whether you signed them, whether you traded for them. That's going to be a pretty interesting time for you, because that relationship will be even closer than the ones involving Isringhausen and Sky Rowland.
It certainly will be a much longer relationship, but you're right. I mean, guys like Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina, you know, even Matt Holliday's of the world. I mean, these guys are, you know, the next gen that goes in there, and that's exciting. But I think that's a special part of when I look back, not leaving quite yet, but when I look back at my career and I think back to like being able to really be almost with one club. I mean, I know I began with the Rockies, but that was for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Best batting practice pitcher they ever had, I heard.
And bunting coach. That's what Don Zimmer used to say.
Hey, he knew something about it,
he was onto it, right. But, you know, November 1st of this year, I'll begin my 25th year with the Cardinals. And, wow, you know, that's a long time for one organization. And to be a part of that, to work with Bill DeWitt throughout, and you know, Walt Jocketty brought me in, and guys like Bob Gebhardt, Jerry Walker. You know, they were always so kind to me, and getting to work with really three fantastic managers, Tony La Russa, Mike Matheny, and now Mike Shildt, has been, you know, a storied ride for me on a personal level. And so as I reflect back on with Izzy and Roland going in, I've been lucky and got to work with some really great people. And it's certainly a special period that I will never forget and probably never be able to replicate.
Well, you know what? It has been a fun ride. And 25 years, man. Like I said, you're getting old.
I know, it's the hair.
At least you have some. Fair. John Mozeliak, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for being part of this. And also, let's enjoy Hall of Fame weekend with some great players and some more coming.
I think that's great. And I thank you, and hopefully win some games.
Let's win a few more, because there's still – and that's the other thing. I didn't want to get into – this season, because there's still some baseball to be played. But at some point, we'll sit down and reflect on how this thing unfolded, because you're in first place, you're competing, and that's something that you always like to see at this time of the year, and you want to take it well into October.
That's the goal. You know, clearly, you'd like to have a bigger lead. You would like to have more spread or breathing room, but the fact is you're competing, and you're competing in a division that's tough. And so, you know, to go in and as the calendar turns into September, to know you have a chance is always special.
You said tough, and I agree with you for this division, because when you look at the other divisions, and I know people boast about the American League East. Well, if I had a chance to play a couple of those teams over in the American League as often as the Yankees and Tampa have a chance to, I'd probably have a pretty good record too.
Yeah, you know, those divisions are just imbalanced, right? Yeah. You have an elite team, and then you have a very much a basement team, versus our division just has a lot of balance, and that's makes it much more difficult, because you play them roughly 20 times each.
We got to find some of those teams.
I like the old days.
Good point. John, thanks again.
Thank you.
For John Mozeliak, I'm Mike Claiborne. This has been Mike at the Mic on the Cardinals Radio Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.